Welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast that takes the work of writing and tries to make it a little bit easier. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
So, Melissa, if I asked you what's shaken, would that be in poor taste?
I'm not really shaken. I'm just rocking and rolling. Just rocking
and rolling. So it was your fault? Your awesomeness caused the earthquakes?
Yes. And if we make it through this podcast without another aftershock, that'll be exciting.
Since it hopefully will not be so severe, like if it were a small one, that would be kind of exciting because, you know, I live in the Midwest. I've never experienced such things. I was kind of jealous.
The weird thing is that I still am like, I got really motion sickness and I still feel it. And there's this thing that they call it like post-earthquake shock syndrome or something. And you actually continually feel like you're moving. And so people are really jumpy. Everybody's like super like, what was that? it's still lingering. And I was ready to pack up my bags. I'm like, I'm going back to the Midwest. It was nice, y'all.
That was a bad one. It was two bad ones.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be okay.
But you have no cold, so.
Yeah.
But that we're not here to talk about we're not here to talk about, I almost said podcast. No, in fact, we are. This is a podcast. We're not here to talk about earthquakes. We're here to talk about writing. And we are continuing our series of going through Pixar's 22 Rules of Storytelling out of order. And this week, we are going to talk about rule number 7, which is come up with your ending before you figure out your middle. Seriously, endings are hard. Get yours working up front. Now, what do you think about that, Melissa? I have thoughts, but I want to hear yours first.
Endings are so hard. I absolutely hate endings, and I often put it off. Like, I kind of know where I'm going, but I haven't figured out all the logistics, and it is the most trying and horrible experience ever trying to, like, wrap up my story. So I agree with this because it's
do you figure them out beforehand? Do you do that?
I try to. I don't always do a good job of it, and I should do more planning.
Okay.
I should do more planning.
Yeah, I agree. Endings are the worst because you just need everything to kind of come together, and you need to fix – you've spent all of this book just like pooping on these characters. Like, let's make it worse and worse and worse and worse, and now all of a sudden you have to get out of it without it being crappy.
Yes.
It's like, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how to get out of this. I'm not this character. How am I supposed to solve this problem too?
Yeah, they're like, write your characters into a corner and then figure out how to get them out. And it's like, that's really hard. I just took away all of their options.
Yes. I've done it where I've taken away all their options and then I had to give them one back because it was like, they're dead. I've killed them. They're dead. That's it. The end.
Yes.
Good night, children. Sleep well. But yeah, I hate endings. And what I usually end up doing is writing more than one and going back and forth because again, multiple storylines. So I'll be like, I'll get one to part of it and I'll kind of like, okay, you wait here. I'm going to go get the other guy. And then I go bring that one. And then I see if these guys come together and I go, sure, let's force this. And then, okay, you guys stay there. And then I'm gonna go get this other guy. And then I realize that doesn't work at all. And I have to change it back. And I'm like braiding, but with stories. The trick that works, though, here's the thing I just thought of, is what I call the Bill and Ted effect. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about this before. If you remember at the end of the wonderful film, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, do you remember how they had that big fight scene at the end?
Yeah.
And they realized, oh, wait, we have a time machine. So let's just remind ourselves to go back and leave these things for ourselves, and then they'd have them. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what any of the specifics are. I think there was a garbage can at one point, and then suddenly those things were there. And that's what you have to do with your story. So you might figure out 3/4 of the way, oh, I know what we needed to do. I know exactly. I need a garbage can right here. Well, the great thing is you go back, you put the garbage can in. I don't think you need to have everything all set first before you go. So it's totally allowed and totally great to realize when you get to the end that you need to look back and go, oh, okay, and put the thing back in.
I mean, that's very familiar, like very similar to what you would see in a mystery, right? Like, or a whodunit, where it's like, okay, I know who the culprit is, and I need to go back and plant clues along the way, but I also need red herrings and I need these other things. So it's like, you have to know what the ending is in order to write that middle piece, because otherwise you don't know what clues to lead, and you don't know which ones are going to be too obvious and allow the reader to be like, oh, yep, I've solved it. I don't need to read the rest of the book.
Now, I will say, Vicki Thompson, the acclaimed mystery writer Victoria Thompson, whose stuff is amazing and is a teacher at Seton Hill, she told us that she does not know who the killer was when she starts writing her book. Now, I'm sure part of the way through she gets it all worked out. I don't know what her process is, but like when she sits down, it's like, okay, time to write a mystery. She comes up with culprits and possibilities, but doesn't narrow herself down until she's written a draft or two.
Which I think is good, right? Like, because I then you, so. Well, then you like have really strong suspects because everybody could have legitimately done it. And I find those as a reader, like if I'm watching a movie, that's more exciting than like the two obvious people. And you're like, okay, like it's gotta be the husband because duh.
Yeah. And she doesn't accidentally or subconsciously give things away because she can't because she doesn't know.
In those early drafts. Yeah, I tend to know what the ending should be, like, but very vague level, because I'm an outliner, so I'm a plotter, so I know where I'm going, and I know, like, what needs to happen in that end scene and how it's all resolved. But I often will, like, put in my outline, showdown at the blank. So I know, like, they get what they wanted at this location, at this time, and all of them come together. But then the mechanics of like you said, like how do all those characters wind up in the right place at the right time? Or like, are they being held captive or this or that? Like, what are the actual logistics of all of it? I have no idea. And I don't often spend enough time trying to figure it out beforehand because I'm like, oh, I'll just write the rest of the story and then figure it out.
One of the reasons I picked this quote is because I don't completely agree with it. I agree that endings are hard, and I really like the idea of knowing what your ending is before you get your middle. Now, it says it's not before you figure out your beginning, right. Before you figure out your middle. So I guess it's like A, C, B. I like that idea because then you know where your middle needs to go. What I find is that I discover things in the middle that help me determine what I want my ending to be. So I'm not sure that works for me. I like the idea. I really love the thought of having everything all organized and then just writing to that, but ladies and gentlemen, a train. Cool. Nothing we can do about it.
Yep, you know, maybe my dog will bark and then it'll just be a lot of fun.
You know, I feel like then the listeners understand what it's like just to be here with us. Yeah. You know, if you were here sitting in my closet where I do this, first of all, I would ask you to leave. But then, because that would be creepy, be in my closet.
It'd be a little creepy.
But yeah, you'd hear the train. You'd hear the dog barking. You'd hear a random earthquake aftershock.
You never know.
Podcast verite.
Yeah. So I agree with you on the ending piece and the middle piece, I think. I do. When I read this quote, though, what I think about is the continuing sort of evolution of writing your story, right? So, like, through each of those stages, you're going to find inspiration and new ideas and new nuggets, and then things are going to shift and change. What I like about this idea of coming up with your ending is I think when a lot of people, especially newer writers, start to plot, they just go sequential, linear order, like, what happens next? Then they allow that, like, I wrote this scene, and so now they got to get from here to here, and that's how they go about plotting, which is not effective, because you end up with this sagging, bulking middle that, like, it's kind of boring in most, and not, like, driving to increase tension and stakes and all of that. So from that perspective, I think this is actually really good advice, because it's telling you, like, you need a direction, and you need to know, like, what those pieces are so that you can go back to that middle and chop it all up and like take out the stuff that isn't working or isn't going to lead you to that ending.
Yeah. But this thing says a couple things. One, it tells you, you don't have to do it in order, right? Because you could do ending before middle. I think that's important. But I think what people might get from this is that you don't always see here what this is saying is that you get more than one shot at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you sit down and say, okay, here's my beginning. Here's my ending. Okay, here's my middle. And now I'm done. Like, that's not at all how it goes. But the idea of of doing it out of order is great. The idea of knowing where you're trying to get to is great. But also keep in mind that you might not know what you're writing until you've written it once. And then you go, oh, that's what the story is. Great. And now I can go back and turn it into the thing.
Right. Especially if you're not, if you're a pantser, then like you still need, you might have to write this in order and you're going to cut a lot of it and rearrange pieces. But it's like, again, once you finish that first or second draft, then you can go back and say, okay, this is what I need my ending to be now that I understand the story mm-hmm. I'm trying to say. And then you can go back and figure out what needs to stay based on that. But yes, I totally agree. Especially in those first drafts, you're just figuring out the characters and the world and the story. And so it could be completely wrong. You could be like, nope, actually, this is so-and-so's story and I need to cut all of this other stuff out.
Yeah, I've done that so many times. And we've said before, that's not a failure at all. That still counts. You still get full credit for those words that you cut. So it's all right. Do it in whatever order makes you happy. Jay Wells always says that you got to go where the heat is. And she writes totally out of order. She writes patchwork, and she'll tell you that she just does, you know, this and then, you know, so it's like, you know, I said A, C, B. She's like A, Z, L, M, 5, 22. All right, and then it comes together into this amazing, brilliant, exciting book that you cannot put down. So it works. And the other thing I think we cannot reiterate enough is it's different every time. None of these, no writing rule that anyone tells you should be taken as gospel.
Agreed. It's kind of like you take what works for you, and if it doesn't work for you, you toss it aside. Set it aside. It's okay.
It's like a golf clubs, right? So you have your golf clubs, and you might be at a certain place, you're like a certain lie on the golf course, I'm told, and then you'll pick the proper club for that lie. And if you only have one club, well, that's going to make it harder. And what we're trying to do is give you more clubs.
Yeah, I like it.
And you'll have your trusty 4-iron that you always have. That's a golf thing. And that's the one you like the best, but you may find that you are in a sand trap and need to get your 2-wedge, which is also a golf club that exists. And
I don't know. I'm just taking your word for it.
Yeah, I absolutely know what I'm talking about. Please don't question me. I'm quite the expert in golf. I'm surprised I didn't come up with a tennis reference because I've been watching Wimbledon pretty much nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was thinking that. I'm like, what's a tennis reference? There's not a really good one.
I know we need a tennis. Okay, so just be brilliant at 15 and defeat your hero in the first round, and you'll be great.
Surprise.
Did you see Coco? You saw her, right?
Of course I saw her.
Oh my God, she was amazing. So great. I was like pretending to work and just watching that.
Okay, so here's a connection though, wait, because like yay! The okay, reason. Good.
Yeah, everything was planned.
The reason that is so great is because she's a heat, like you have something to root for. And it's not even that like mm-hmm. it's the most spectacular play. It's that she's 15 and everybody in the crowd wants to root for her because she's like had this amazing Cinderella story. And we don't know where it's going. Like, we don't know how it's going to end, but we're really excited to be on that journey with her and to just like watch greatness, like feel like you're being a part of greatness. And I think that's something that you can take into your writing. And so when you're thinking about endings, it's like, yeah, like you want to be surprised by the ending. You want your audience to be surprised and not to be able to figure out what's going to happen because that keeps them engaged in the story.
We identify her with her. We've all been 15, and we weren't able to do that at 15. We'd like to think
could you imagine?
But we didn't. And so we get to use it, engages our imagination. And I'm gonna add one more level to this. Look at me go. Haha, look at us. I was listening to an interview with Rafael Nadal, and he was saying, you know, they asked, like, so what do you think about Coco Gauff? She's so amazing. They asked, what advice would you give her? And he said, to keep living your life. Right. We always say, oh, work really hard. And I do work very hard. We all think we work very hard. But I also still went out and partied with my friends and lived my life. I mean, maybe not as much, but I still did it. And it's very important to do that. And I think that's a good advice for a writer as well, that it's not all just push, 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 write. You enjoy yourself on the court. You arrange your water bottles in exactly the right way and get to work and do your thing. But you also have to stop and live. Because otherwise, you can't write.
Yeah.
It's not all work. It's got to be, you got to be there.
Maybe that's our amendment to this rule.
Yes.
That you have to enjoy the process because it's hard. Endings are hard.
You know, you got to have fun with this because otherwise you'll go insane. When you see these rules of storytelling, it's easy to kind of grab onto them because especially that seems like, ah, here's the answer. I've got it. And if there's one thing I've learned over doing this for quite some time is that there is no one absolute simple answer, much as we desperately want there to be. There isn't.
If there was, it would be really easy. Everybody would do it and you wouldn't find any joy out of it.
That's a really good point.
There you go.
That writing is hard and that's why we like it. That almost got us out of the podcast. Whoops, that would have been bad. We would have fallen right out. However, that said, I do think we've covered everything on this.
Yeah.
I also remembered just now that we were supposed to, and I didn't even tell you about this, that we should have mentioned the socials and the iTunes stuff at the beginning.
Yes.
And we didn't. So if you're listening, what you want to do is you want to listen to this part that we're about to say and then go back to the beginning and listen to it so it feels like we did it in the right place, even though we did not. But what we are going to say is to go to iTunes and subscribe, review, rate, all sorts of good. Just give us your love. We need your love. And we're on the socials.
All the socials. Writing Easy Podcast on everything.
Yeah. I mean, you could look it up. You can all figure it out. So I think we should call it a day, yeah?
We should. This is great.
All right, here we go. This feels good. I love doing these because every time I read them, I'm like, I must memorize each one. And now we're taking some time, and so we'll hopefully internalize them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Here we go. This time I mean it. Writing is hard.
So take it easy.
I have been Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.